Yesterday, members of Congress read the Constitution out loud, reminding us that while the 13th Amendment freed the slaves, when states began undermining that freedom, the 14th Amendment was written in part to guarantee former slaves citizenship.
All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside.
But now some Republican state lawmakers have launched a campaign to change that, saying the 14th Amendment shouldn't grant citizenship to children of undocumented immigrants. They call themselves State Legislators for Legal Immigration. Arizona State Legislator John Kavanaugh is one of them. And Representative Kavanaugh, we know you want to do two things: change how birth certificates are issued and write a state law.
They each have one purpose, and that is to trigger a Supreme Court review of the current interpretation of the 14th Amendment's citizenship clause, which we believe to be inaccurate.
And again, it says all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. What is your problem with that?
My problem is the current interpretation of the phrase subject to the jurisdiction thereof. That is the entire foundation of our case. If you use the contemporary meaning of subject to jurisdiction, meaning, you know, if you break the law, you can be arrested and tried and convicted, then yeah, then I'll pack up my bags and I'll go home because I've lost the case. But if you go back and look at the history of the 14th Amendment, what that phrase meant was that your sole allegiance is to the United States. It was an attempt to not give citizenship to Native Americans who, during that time, weren't particularly liked. Native Americans, even though they were born in the United States, were not granted citizenship. In the Elk decision, the Supreme Court said, no, they're not citizens under the 14th Amendment because their parents owed allegiance to their tribes.
You're talking about the 1884 Supreme Court decision Elk v. Wilkins, in which the court decided Native American John Elk couldn't be a citizen because he owed his immediate allegiance to his tribe, not to the U.S. Now, Congress passed a law in 1924, in effect overturning that ruling, allowing citizenship for Indians, saying, in effect, tribes aren't countries. But are you saying you still hold to the spirit of the 1884 Supreme Court ruling for people who aren't Native American?
The ruling is that you, a newborn, owes allegiance to the country of their parents. That has always been international law. And in fact, if you look worldwide today, 85% of the countries of the world do not have birthright citizenship. It's the U.S. that stands with only a small number of countries with this rather absurd policy of bestowing citizenship like a door prize, even to people who snuck in the back door illegally.
All right, well, the argument that you're going to make and hope to make before the Supreme Court is that, as the line reads, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, means that children born in the United States will have allegiance to their parents' home country as opposed to this country, so they fail to pass the subject to the jurisdiction thereof test. And the way you hope to do that is through birth certificates and through sort of changing the rights that states have. Start with birth certificates. You're calling for something called a state compact, which would have to be approved by Congress but not by the president. And what would it allow participating states to do?
Once this compact was approved by the states and ratified by Congress, so we're not holding our breath, then when the states issued birth certificates, they would simply differentiate between children born of parents who owe their allegiance to the United States, who are subject to jurisdiction, and not. They'll still be getting birth certificates, but we'll differentiate. We also define what the term subject to the jurisdiction thereof means. One or both parents is a U.S. citizen, or were naturalized, or are legal residents. The second law is simply a bill which defines citizenship in Arizona as a person born in the U.S. and subject to the jurisdiction thereof and a resident of the state.
So,
but then we go on to define the term subject to the jurisdiction thereof, and we define it the way we believe the writers of the 14th Amendment and the first couple of court decisions intended. This triggers the Supreme Court review of the phrase, and that's all we want.
Well, you also mention residency, and that's because in the late 1800s, which some would say is a very embarrassing chapter in U.S. history, Chinese immigrants were barred from being citizens. It was an exclusionary act, even though they built much of Northern California. And the Supreme Court ruled that their children who were born here could be citizens.
Yes. if a child's parents are legal residents of the United States, that child's a citizen. And we respect that decision, and that's why we wrote our law to include that. But the Supreme Court has never said, nor has the Congress ever passed a law that says, that the child of illegal immigrants are citizens. And that's what we want the Supreme Court to review.
What about some of the thinking on what happens if you win? Do you think it will stop immigrants from coming to the U.S. to seek the jobs they're looking for or seek the better life they're looking for?
No. I think for the most part, illegal immigrants come here for jobs. I don't deny that, and most of my colleagues don't deny that. Some come here for birth tourism, but it's a very small number. Certainly, the benefit of your child becoming a citizen if born here is a lure, but again, not as strong as jobs.
You don't think it will stop the flow of illegal immigrants, so won't it just strand the children of illegal immigrants as non-citizens?
First thing it will do is it will reduce state costs. I would deny emergency treatment to nobody, even illegal immigrants. That's not the issue. But if you're a legal citizen, you're entitled to welfare, you're entitled to cheese. I mean, you get the whole nine yards, and that gets pretty expensive.
Well, as you know, the many opponents of your thinking, Lucas Guttentag of the Immigrant Rights Project at the ACLU is one, say it's hard to imagine a more quintessentially anti-American project.
That's not true. In fact, granting birthright citizenship is downright un-American. We fought a revolution to get British citizenship off our backs. We never really dealt with the definition of citizenship until the 19th century when we passed the 14th Amendment and we were forced to define citizenship to take care of the slaves.
Well, what do you think Congress is going to do? They might decide that, no, that line, all persons born in the U.S., and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, means the person born, not the parents, and we think that people have their own will, and a child born to illegal immigrants in the U.S. could perfectly have its loyalties be to the U.S.
If they did that, I would disagree, but I would pack my legal bags and go home. But I don't think they'll agree to that, because let me ask you this question. Do you think a child born of a visiting French tourist in New York who delivers a few weeks prematurely, do you think that child is...
That's not who you're talking about. That's not the majority.
Agreed, but under this ridiculous interpretation, we're also dispensing citizenship to these accidental births. That's not a rational, sane, orderly immigration system.
That's Arizona State Legislator John Kavanaugh. John, Representative Kavanaugh, we will follow this along with you. Thank you.
Thanks for hearing my side of the argument.